Hey, it's Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online. If you won't mind, help us keep the show free, the Monday through Wednesday free episodes free. We work really hard to do that. But if you could, please fill out a quick five-minute survey, anonymous survey, no email addresses required, nothing like that. Just a quick survey telling us a little bit about who you are that listens to our show. Go to podcast.study, podcast.study, no .com or anything, just podcast.study. Fill it out, takes 5 minutes, and it helps keep this thing free. I greatly appreciate your time doing that. 5 minutes is all I ask. Just fill it out, be done. And you probably do it in 2 minutes if you're quick with clicking. Podcast.study. And thank you in advance.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Of course, you can also write it on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or you can email me your audio file. You send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. You can record it on your mobile device. Another way to get your stories to us. Happy to have you joining us today. Jenny is out for this episode, so you got me today. We're going to be taking your calls, listening to a lot of your ghost stories, and of course, chatting about them. Very excited about that. If you've not joined us on social media yet, I've been really kind of going nuts, if you will, lately with a lot of pictures of creepy ass stuff, as I like to call it. But we've been going out and, number one, trying to get some exercise, but trying to do it in a way that is enjoyable. And so what we found is hiking around the area is really fun because it's beautiful. There's hills, there's trees, and there's a lot of abandoned stuff. And there really is everything from old homesteads to ghost towns, literally towns in the middle of woods that don't have accessible roads leading to them anymore, just remnants of it. And then you have towns that are still semi-functional but have fallen on such hard times that, I mean, there's really interesting and beautiful photos you can take, and I love going through some of these places because it's easier to see, especially with architecture and buildings that, you know, in your own lifetime very likely did not look in the state of disarray and decay that they're in now, but you can very easily picture how this would have looked 20 years ago, 30 years ago. And it's haunting, it's sad, it's beautiful seeing what this once was, but in it you still can see what could possibly be if something could get turned around for some of these communities. And you know, you just hope and pray that some way that can be done, because it is a sad state of affairs in so many small towns in our country, just the way things have become and the disarray that so many of these towns are sitting in. But it's interesting nonetheless, and I think sometimes going out and just documenting these things and documenting these photos and sharing them, you know, it can help open up the eyes of a lot of folks who don't see these things on a regular basis, who don't realize that, hey, maybe that beautiful little town that they visited as a child or just 20 years ago, you know, what it looks like today. And I don't know if that's, you know, it's not an immediate, you know, call to action or step to action to change anything, but people to be aware of some of these things that may not be, may be a push in that right direction. Not to get too philosophical and taking pictures of creepy shit, but just something kind of runs through my mind as you go through some of these places. Anyway, those pictures are up on Facebook, Instagram. Be sure to follow us and see some of that work. It's interesting. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Of course, you can write it on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Let's go to our first call. Hi, you are on the air.
Hello, my name is Marissa, and I live in Indianapolis, Indiana. And I had a story to share about a house, a couple of houses. So growing up, we lived with my mother, but we stayed with my grandmother a lot because my mom was a single mom. So we stayed there a lot during the week and weekends. My grandma had this white two-story house that Had a couple acres with it. It was a really nice house. It was, I don't think it was super old, but it wasn't new or anything. Growing up there, my dad died when I was really little, and my grandma told me about an experience she had in that house that the night my dad died, she was asleep in bed crying, because unfortunately my dad committed suicide, so it's unfortunate. My grandma was crying in bed, I guess, and real late at night. She was in and out of sleep, and she said she felt the presence of somebody standing next to her bed. And she said she knew that it was my dad, which is her son. And he said he was sorry and that he wanted her to come into the living room. And she just couldn't move. I don't know if it was out of fear that she couldn't move or that she just was so upset that she didn't want to get up. But she told, the way she told the story is he wanted to talk to her in the living room for some reason. But she never did get up and go in the living room. But he did say he was sorry. And I'm guessing he said sorry to her in this dream or vision. Or she said she was awake during this. And he was sorry. So that's one thing that happened in that house. And that was the night he died, which is kind of scary. So maybe that was his final spirit visiting the last place before he moved on. So the house, this is a few years later, of course, the house next door to the house she lived in went up for sale, and she decided to purchase it. Now, this wasn't because she wanted to purchase it because of that. She just wanted, they wanted, I think, a smaller house. So the one next door, it's still a three-bedroom. It's just less maintenance, I think, because it was a one-story. It has 2 acres, which is cool because they like having land. So they ended up keeping both houses and renting out the White House, the one that they did live in. And then they moved into this new house. The guy that owned the house died. The story was he died on the dance floor, I guess. He was on vacation and died dancing, like on vacation, which is crazy. So she purchased his house. And when I was growing up, we stayed there a lot. So at night, I would sleep in the back bedroom. And the long hallway was where all the bedrooms were. Well, I would feel like at night when I looked down that hallway, because my door was open, that I could see a shadow walking down the hallway from her room to mine. And it always really scared me, so I always had the door. I started shutting the door. And the weird thing is every door in the house, like in the bedrooms, has a mirror onto the back. On the back of the door is a mirror. So shutting the door, you could see yourself still. Even in the dark, if you had like the TV on, it was still kind of scary because it was, you know, a mirror. And so that didn't really help much, but at least I didn't have to see the shadow figure anymore. And I was really young. I was probably like 7 years old, I think, around that age. And growing up, nothing else seemed to happen in the house. But there is one thing that happened a couple years ago, a few years, it was about 3 or 4 years ago. I moved in with my grandmother, same house, after living with my mom. I was over 18 at this time, and I moved out of my mom's house. Wanted to live with my grandma to save money. I didn't have time, you know, I didn't have money to be on my own yet, really. And one night I got some food. I think it was Rally's or something, some kind of fast food. And I had was on the phone. I was on her house phone with my little sister. My little sister is like 5 years younger than me. So we were on the phone together. And we were talking, and I was eating at the kitchen table. Well, when you first come in the house, there's a basement. Right across the way from the front door, and then there's the kitchen, so it's all kind of together. And I was sitting there eating my food, and I was on the phone not paying attention, and all of a sudden nobody else was home, okay? So all of a sudden the basement door creaks open. This is the older type door. It's a really light door, and it's a weird type of handle. It's not a regular like knob. And I thought they did have a cat, so I was like, oh, maybe the cat was coming up from the basement. Because there was a litter box down there. I didn't see the cat come in, but I figured it was the cat. So I went over there, shut the door. I was on the phone, not paying attention. Went back to eating, and all of a sudden, this was just like a minute later, that door slams open by itself. No cat anywhere, nobody in sight. And hits the, because there was no stopper, so it hit the back of the wall very hard to where the door was like shaking. Because if you slam a door open hard enough and it's a like a light vent door, it will, you know, shake. And I was so, I just sat there in fear, like that terrorizing fear that you can't even move. And I ended up putting the phone down or dropping the phone, I can't remember. And I went back to, I went over there to shut the door really quickly without looking down the stairs. And I just held that little knot, that little handle on the door and just stood there. And I was just paralyzed with fear. I can't believe I even made it over there, first off. Because nobody was home. They were out of town. And somehow I got the courage to open that door. I opened the door and looked down, and there were steps, of course, down to the basement, and it was just complete darkness. Nobody was there, and I got a really cold chill come up the stairs, and there was just nobody there. And but most basements are cold anyways, but this was a chill. And I just felt like there was breath on me. And I ended up running, like full-blown almost, because it was a hardwood floor, I had socks on, full-blown running, almost slipping, running to the bedroom. And I grabbed the phone on my way because I was so scared I needed someone to talk to. And I told her what happened because she was still on the phone. She hadn't hung up for some reason. This is, you know, this all was over the span of a couple minutes, so I guess she just stayed on the phone. And I went into the bedroom and just sat there, and I was almost in tears because I was so scared. I didn't know what to do. I turned the light on and I sat on the bed and just talked to her about what happened. And all of a sudden, my curtains in the bedroom, and there's no, and I didn't have like a fan or anything, and the curtains, like as if somebody was behind the curtains, like moved. That was the final straw. I ended up saying, I'll talk to you later. And I remember hanging up on her. I left all the lights on. I ran out of the house. Like, and I had to run past that basement door. So I was just, I was scared. I ran. I don't even think I had my shoes. And I ran out to my car and I left. I left all the lights on, which I had to call my grandmother and say, Grandma, I'm sorry, but I left the house and I left all the lights on. She hates leaving lights on. My grandpa hates when people leave lights on, even if you're in the other room and you leave the light on. I had to say, I'm sorry I left the lights on, but I'm not going back tonight. Something happened. And I didn't want to tell them because they don't believe in that kind of stuff, I don't think. I mean, even with what happened to my grandmother, I don't think she wants to admit that, like, stuff like that happens. Like, I still think she writes off what happened to her as a dream. But I don't think it was a dream. I think something, and I'm not sure if it's my dad or something else, but something followed from that other house to this house. Maybe, or maybe both the houses have something. But one last thing to this story. She has rented that house out to a few people. There have been two families that have moved out of that white house next door because pictures would fall off the wall. They would hear stuff. And see, the last person that lived there did renovations to the house, and they got it really bad, and I guess have experienced shaking. My cousins lived there for a while and rented the house, and they said that the back door would just open by itself. Just open it like the screen door, like, and like there was a screen door and then there was the door. It would be this, the regular door would just open. And they would just write it off. And but one family was a Spanish family, and I guess in the middle of the night, my grandpa is up during the night, late at night, looked over there and they were all in their car in the driveway. Like, I guess they had ran out of the house and was in their car. Like, I don't know if they're going to a hotel or what, but I guess there was so much happening there that then they ended up moving out. Like, I guess some things have happened in that house, and then at this house, obviously, things have happened. That's really all I've experienced in the two houses, but I think definitely something's there. I don't know if it's tied in with my dad or not, but something's definitely going on. At this point, they've sold that white house to the people who live there now, and they, from what they've experienced, they still experience pictures falling off the wall there and stuff like that, but I guess they've learned to live with it. They've renovated the basement and stuff like that. But anyways, that's my story for today. I've got a few more stories for sure that I want to share. I'm going to call back in. I've got a few different ones. So that's the one I wanted to share today. And it would be awesome if I made it on the air. But if not, I definitely like, thank you guys for making this show. I discovered you guys a couple weeks ago. I listened to you all day at work. And I want to become an EPP very soon. Thank you and have a good day.
Well, based on everything you talked about in that story, I'd have to probably venture to say it's not your dad that was wreaking havoc on some of those folks after you had left and even when you were there. Obviously, that first visitation, the message that was relayed, probably him. That one, probably him. But it sounds like afterwards there was something else going on there. I wonder how much the fact that he was able to come back and say something does have to do with the other things that are going on. Meaning, is there some sort of doorway there, some sort of portal there that made it that much easier for him to appear at that point in time and then, go back away, but also then for other things to come through that door? It's very hard to know. Thank you for the story. Greatly appreciate that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to the caller. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. I'm Jennifer from Virginia, and found you guys' podcast not that long ago, and I've just been kind of listening to it anytime I'm doing chores or driving, so, you know, thanks for making dishes easier. So I've heard a lot of cool stories and some pretty scary stories, but I haven't heard any stories about haunted ambulances. And I have one for you about that. I used to run rescue, kind of in a small rural part of Virginia, and worked for a company that does ambulance transport too. And we had one ambulance in particular with the company that I worked for that had been in service for a really long time with one of the rescue squads in the area, and when they put it out of commission, our company bought it and had it, you know, repainted and rebranded. So it became our ambulance. It had some, I guess, mechanical problems and went in for repair. And no one wanted to be the one to go down and get it and drive it back because it was haunted. So me being me was like, you know, it can't be that bad. I just started working for the company. You know, it's whatever. I'll drive it back. So we rode down to get it. And it's about a 30-35 minute drive. So I'm kind of on the way down thinking, I'm going to be driving this supposedly haunted ambulance back by myself, you know, 35-40 minute drive. Okay, we'll see how this goes. So we went and got it, and nothing happened for a little while. You know, it's broad daylight, and I thought, you know, maybe it's only haunted at night. And then I hear the sound of keys being thrown in the air and caught in the back of the truck. And of course there's nobody in the truck but me. And stopped at a stoplight and looked in the mirror and didn't see anybody, kind of turned around, and of course, you know, there's no one back there. And as soon as it started, you know, as soon as I turned around, it started again, and it was the sound of Like, Tony, if you have, like, ever met anybody or Jenny with, like, the nervous habit of throwing the key, their keys in the air and catching them, that is the exact sound that it was making in the back of the ambulance, just over and over. Keys getting thrown up and kind of that tinkle and then that chunk when you catch them over and over. And I finally said, hey, man, look, that's really annoying. You know, find something quieter to fidget with, please. And it stopped. And I thought, okay, like, that's not residual then. If it stopped, it's, you know, probably a more intelligent haunting. And so I started to, you know, just turn around, was kind of thankful that it had stopped and that I wasn't having to listen to that again, because it had gotten really aggravating. And I felt a tug on my ponytail. And I used to have really, really, really long hair, and I would keep it up in kind of a ponytail, messy bun all the time. And so I kind of, you know, had to do like a little experiment of, like, you know, maybe I caught my hair, like, you know, between my shoulder and the seat. But I couldn't get my hair to catch, even trying, between my shoulder and the seat. And I thought, like, okay, you know, it's moved on to a different annoyance. This is great. So, you know, I'm kind of trying to ignore it and just not acknowledge it. And, you know, thinking, like, you know, like a toddler, if you don't pay attention to it doing something stupid and annoying, it'll quit. And then, like, I feel my ponytail get, like, flipped up, like, over my head. And I'm like, okay, that's even more aggravating than the keys. And it did that a couple of times until I finally said, like, okay, that's even worse than the keys. Find something else to do, please. That's not going to make me wreck this ambulance. And it kind of stopped. And then I could hear the latches on the cabinets in the back. And they're locked cabinets, but you could flip the latch up, but you couldn't actually open it without the key. So then I hear those popping. And I finally just turned the radio on and just kept turning it up until I couldn't hear the latches anymore. And, you know, finally got back to the our lot and parked it and told the ghost goodbye and got out and went in and told our, you know, manager. I was like, hey, that truck's really haunted. So, just so you know. And she just kind of looked at me and she said, huh, is that why nobody wants to drive it? I was like, yeah, I think so. So, you know, I guess she'd heard about it before, but she hadn't really paid attention to it until, you know, the new girl that didn't know why nobody wanted to drive it told her again. But, you know, I still see them. I don't work for them anymore. It's been a long time, but I still see that truck around town and I still wonder if that ghost is still in the back throwing its keys up and catching them. So, you know, I have some other stories, some from Running Rescue and some from just, you know, my whole family is pretty sensitive and kind of interesting. And so we have had a lot of experiences in our family and a lot of stories. And I've lived in a couple of haunted places and worked in a couple of haunted places. So I'll have to call in and give you guys another story sometime, but I don't want it to get too long. So I hope you guys have a great day and thanks for the awesome show. Bye-bye.
You know, I think you're right. I don't recall having stories about haunted ambulances on the program, which is interesting because when you think about the places and things that would likely hold just tons of energy, nervous energy, excited energy, you know, just energy in general, an ambulance would certainly be one of them and probably one of the least likely vehicles you want to buy used. If you believe in what we talk about, that would probably be one of the least likely things that you'd want to be tootling around town in. Thank you for the story and the experience and sharing that with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you're not an EPP yet, please, please consider becoming one. You do that at ghostpodcast.com. Get all the bonus episodes of our show. That's how we repay you for being an EPP. 130 some of those. All the stuff that's fallen off of iTunes, that's posted. Exclusive video content and more. Lots and lots of extras that are EPP exclusives there at ghostpodcast.com. $5 a month is all we ask, and that's what keeps this thing on the air. Let's go to another caller. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. I'd like to share an experience I had when I was a security guard. I worked as a flex officer for 2 years. Flex officer just means I wasn't trained for a specific hospital, but would help out if they were short-staffed or other things. So a flex officer mainly did M1 holds. An M1 hold are medical one holds only authorized by doctors or police officers. So they are pretty specific. So when a patient is on a hold, they cannot leave the room without an escort. They cannot get off their bed. They must be in a gown. The curtain or door must remain open, and we must have direct view of the patient at all times. So let me start by saying, as a flex security guard in a hospital, we would have to watch people in the emergency room who can't sit in their room by themselves. They could be a safety concern to themselves or others. It could be because they are on drugs, drunk, mentally unstable, like suicidal or even homicidal. Some would just stop taking their meds, so they would go into a false sense of reality. And I'm only saying all this to let you know I have seen everything and never had one thought crossed my mind that they might be demon-possessed. Now, this one instance was very way different. So it started off when I was finishing up a watch and my supervisor let me know another M1 hold was on the way. I was in the ambulance entrance when a thin Hispanic lady in her early 40s was being escorted by a police officer. She had long dark hair and it was pulled back into like a ponytail, and wore a Spanish-style, multicolored long summer dress with a red blouse. It just seemed to be odd because she didn't seem combative, and she was in cuffs. So she was escorted to her room, and another officer started the M1 hold until I finished with my hold. When I got to the room, the officer briefed me on the patient and continued to explain why the patient wasn't in her gown and not in the bed. They said that the doctor authorized it. Still not okay. Even if the doctor authorizes it, he can't just not follow the M1 protocol. But I digress. So the light was also off, and it sometimes helps patients to have a more calming atmosphere. So after the briefing and the other officer left, I looked into the room to see the lady sitting in the back of the room with her legs crossed and her hand mid-height and moving like she was talking to someone on the floor next to her. Something just felt wrong. It was like a dark presence or something was in the room. As I was staring at her, she suddenly looked right at me. It kind of caught me off guard and made the hair on my neck stand up. She went right back to talking to whatever she was talking to. She looked at me again and realized I was watching her rather intently. I was trying to make out what she was saying. She then stopped and crossed her arms and stared right at me. It's a good time to tell you now, I'm born again Christian, and I have believed people could be demon possessed, but I myself have never encountered a demon possessed person. I say this so it will make more sense of why I did what I did next. So okay, now something came over me to pray for this lady. I have never had the urge to pray like I did, but I really couldn't just close my eyes and start praying, so I sat down on my chair and looked down and started to pray. The moment I said, Heavenly Father, in my head, and my eyes were open, she jumped up and darted to the door with the most angry look on her face. It caused me to jump up And now we're face to face, and she begins to try to shut the door. My left hand stops the door, and I begin to tell her, "Ma'am, you cannot shut the door, and I need you to either get into the chair or get into bed." Now everything inside of me is freaking out. And then she begins to slither, is the best way I can describe it, back to her chair without taking her eyes off of me. I think to myself, that was crazy. I then think, I'm going to try to pray again. This time, I sit back down and grab my pen and act like I'm writing on my patient log. I begin, just like before, "Heavenly Father." At that moment, she jumped up and darted to the door, just like before, with the same angry and aggressive look on her face. Again, I jumped up and tell her, "Get back in the room and sit down or get in bed." Now she's trying to shut the door again. As before, she slithers back to her chair, and I ask her, "Ma'am, are you good?" She begins to say, "I'm good. Are you good?" I say, "Yes, I'm good. Thanks for asking." Now I'm starting to think, does she know I'm praying in my head? And how would she know I'm praying in my head? So I tell myself, there's no way she could tell I was trying to pray. Now, this time, I'm going to try and pray while I'm looking around, and in no way would she have a clue what I'm doing. So right then, I start to say in my head, "Heavenly Father." She says, "Hey, are you good?" And I stop and say, "I'm good, thank you. Are you good?" And then I think, she's not going to let me pray. She can sense when I'm about to pray. So now I'm thinking, she's going to keep me distracted. So she continues to keep repeating herself, "You good?" And I would say, "Yes, I'm good. Are you good?" And we would continue this way for about 2 minutes. I would add things like, "Thank you for being so cooperative," and that I appreciate her sitting down, just to try and change things up. But she wasn't about to let me start talking with her. Then the conversation suddenly begins to change to her saying, "Are you good?" I would say, "I'm good, thank you. Are you good?" Then she would say, "You're good, I'm bad." Something in my head said not to say anything, but of course I had to ask, "Why are you bad?" "I think you're being good." Again, the conversation went over and over the same way, "You good, I'm bad." And me saying, "I don't think you're bad." Then again, it changed to, "You're good, I'm evil." Everything inside of me said, "Oh crap, here we go." I said, "Who said you're evil?" She said, "My Lord." Now at this point, this lady with her Spanish accent has not for 1 second stopped looking and staring at me. I'm thinking to myself, her Lord is probably the devil. But of course, I ask the question, "Who's your Lord?" She says, "Jesus Christ." It caught me off guard. I then say, "Jesus Christ says you're evil?" She says, "Yes. He says I'm evil and you're good." I said, "I don't think Jesus will call you evil." She says in a slower pace, "You're good. I'm cursed." At that moment, I truly felt like I was talking to the demon inside of her, and it was making a claim like, "She's mine, so leave us alone, and I will leave you alone."
I felt like, with our very limited word use in our conversation, that it was saying a lot more than I was being said. I felt like I was the slow one, not picking up on what was being said. I finally stopped responding and tried to change the subject. I asked her if she wants some water. She said yes. And so I went into the room. There was a sink. And as I was getting the water, I told her, "The water in here really isn't that cold. It's pretty lukewarm." And she, as I'm not facing her, I hear her say, "Are you lukewarm?" And I sat there and I said to myself, "Yeah, probably. I probably am lukewarm." And as for a Christian, in Revelations, it speaks of if you're lukewarm, God will spit you out of his mouth. He would rather you be hot or cold. Well, I said, "Yeah, I probably am lukewarm." And she said, because I'm hot. And in my head, I'm thinking, oh yeah, I'm out of my league. I'm not even ready for this. So I give her the water, and she had no desire for the water. She continued to just stare at me like, what are you doing in here? Don't want to have nothing to do with you. So needless to say, I go sit back down, and that's pretty much where the conversation left. And we didn't really pursue anymore, but that day, I felt like I truly was talking with a spirit. And just a little bit of background on this lady. She was from Argentina, lived with her daughter, and so kind of give you a region of where she's from. But that's my story. Thanks for listening.
Well, I have to say, I'm really not quite sure where or why suddenly the audio changed in the quality of it from being very full to almost sounding like over a telephone receiver. But nonetheless, kind of creepy. I did not add that effect myself. That was just how the audio came into us. But hey, nothing like suddenly having an interaction with a possible demon. It's probably a good thing the conversation ended there, and I'm glad it didn't continue on with Anne. Let me tell you what happened after we got home. It turned out the demon followed me, because that could, it would lead to more great stories for us to share, but not such a great life for an individual. Thank you for sharing that story. It sounds like, yeah, you had a run-in with something. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hey, you know, we do everything we can to keep the free episodes of our show free. Obviously, we do 3 free episodes a week, and then we have the EPP exclusive, and we love to keep it at the 3 free episodes a week. But we do need your help in doing that. If you wouldn't mind, help us by filling out a podcast survey. It helps us keep this show and the free episodes free. It takes less than 5 minutes. It will help us out tremendously. I just need a handful of folks to do it. So if you don't mind, take 5 minutes. You go to podcast.study. That's it. Podcast.study. It's not podcast.study.com. It's just podcast.study. Fill out the quick 5-minute, completely anonymous survey. Helps us out quite a bit in keeping this thing free. For you to listen to in our 4 free episodes a week. So podcast.study, please help me out, fill that out. And I greatly, greatly appreciate you taking a few minutes to do that. Costs you nothing, 5 minutes of your time. Thank you in advance, podcast.study. Please fill that out for us. All right, let's go to another caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Tony. Hi, Jenny. This is Jamie in Tennessee. Love the show. I've been wanting to send in my very first paranormal experience for a while. I'm driving in my car, so I hope the quality of sound is okay. sorry. Okay, so in order to tell you this story, I have to give you a little bit of backstory. My mother, her father passed away when she was 16, and this was devastating for her, so much so that she never really talked about him. I never really saw any pictures, anything like that. So, okay, so fast forward to, I was about 5 or 6 years old at the time, and my grandmother, my mother's mother, lived with us. She, my dad, my sister and I shared a room for a long time, and then my dad was building an apartment in the basement for my grandmother so that she would have like a mother-in-law suite, I guess. So that had been completed, and my sister got the room that she and I had shared, and I got my grandmother's old bedroom upstairs across from my parents' room next to my sister's room. So this, my first paranormal experience happened after this change in room. So I was about 5 or 6 years old. I am so sorry. I'm getting over a cold. I was 5 or 6 years old, and I woke up in the middle of the night because I heard a man saying, "Mary, Mary." And I sat up in bed, and I saw a man at the foot of my bed standing there. And I could see my dresser through him. I could see him perfectly well, but I could see my dresser at the foot of my bed through him, which, you know, 5 or 6 year old brain is just like, okay, whatever. So I'm like, hi. And we started talking, and he said, you know, who are you? And I said, I'm Jamie. And he said, you must be Linda Ray's little girl. And I said, I am. And he said, I said, are you looking for Mimi? And he said, yes, yes, I'm looking for Mimi. And so I started telling him that, you know, my dad had built her this apartment and she had moved downstairs and I got my own bedroom. And he was like, oh, that's great. You know, you're getting to be such a big girl. And I was named after my grandfather, my middle name. So, he said, why don't you lay back down and go back to sleep? And I'm going to go check on Mimi. And I said, okay. So he walks, I watched him walk out of my room, go into my mother's room, my mother and father's room. And a few minutes later, walk out of there and walk down the hall. I heard him walk down the hall. I went back to sleep. No big deal. So I wasn't scared at all. Woke up in the morning and was telling my mom and dad. I was like, mommy, daddy, you know, there was this man in my room last night. He was looking for Mimi. And I told him where she was and told him about her room. And so my mom was like, okay, well, it was just a dream. And I'm like, no, mommy, it wasn't a dream. So I start telling her, you know, and she's like, okay, so what did he look like? So I start describing him to her. And she just kind of gets this look, and she was like, oh, okay. She said, well, let's go downstairs and see if Mimi's awake. It's like, okay. So we go downstairs and wake up my grandmother, and my mom says, you know, mom, we need to, I want to look for a picture of daddy. And my grandmother's, okay. So she said, tell Mimi about what happened. So I told my grandmother what happened. So my mom pulls out this picture, and she said, is this who you saw? And I'm like, that's him. So it was my grandfather, and my grandmother started crying, and my mom was, you know, crying, and she said, you know, I dreamed about Ray last night, and all of this, so that made it more real for her. So apparently, you know, he did go downstairs, and she had some kind of interaction with him. So at that point, I start getting freaked out, because I realize I've seen something I wasn't supposed to see. I got a little bit freaked out, and so my mom was like, you know, Jamie, he would never hurt you. He wasn't here to scare you. I don't even think he meant to see you. It sounds like he was looking for Mimi and just happened to find you. So we'll just say a prayer that, you know, God won't let you see him anymore. Or that, you know, whatever, you won't see him again. So you won't have to be scared. So we did that. And I did. I never saw him again. However, as years went by, I did have some like vague interactions with him. My grandmother developed Alzheimer's several years later. I was probably 13 when it started. And as it progressed, it got, you know, a little bit worse and worse. And she would get her days and nights mixed up. She'd be up all night. And when she would be up all night or get up during the night, I'm 99.9% sure it was my grandfather would come and sit on my bed and shake it until I woke up. Not like hard, but just kind of gradually more like, come on, you need to get up. And this happened too many times to count. And every time this occurred, I would get up and my grandmother would be, you know, doing something she shouldn't have been doing, like trying to turn on the stove or I don't know, maybe about to set the house on fire in some way. So, that's my first paranormal experience. It was very vivid. I still remember it. I absolutely am 100% certain that I was not dreaming. And even if I was, I had never even seen this man before. So, it was actually a good thing because my mom started talking about her dad more then and put pictures out and all of that. So that was my first of several experiences, but that was, I guess, long enough. Sorry if it was too long. I love the show. Thanks so much. Y'all have a great day.
It just kind of shows you that ghosts are not infallible as far as their intentions go. They can't 100% get it right where I'm going to only show myself to this person now because I'm a ghost and it's what I can do. They can essentially mess up and run into the wrong person, and it's not a foolproof thing. A lot of, I think, the errors of human life and the living still continue to follow the human dead, if you will. So thank you for sharing that story and your experiences with us. We greatly appreciate that. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Thank you guys for listening to today's episode. Greatly appreciate it. If you like what you hear, become an EPP extra podcast person on our website at ghostpodcast.com. Get all those bonus episodes of the show. Keep us on the air. That's really what the biggest thing is. $5 a month is all we ask, and you can be an EPP and get all those bonus episodes just jam-packed with the creepiest ghost stories that we have ever told at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thank you for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.